Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about human trafficking in the Cape Fear region, why it's hard to get a handle on, how our handling of it in the judicial system is changing, and what role the public can play in helping law enforcement. With us in the studio today, Detective Will Campbell of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Department and Jessica Green of the Rape Crisis Center. You're invited to join the discussion. Do you have a question or a comment for our guests? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at CoastlineHQR. Detective Campbell, there was an article in Police Chief magazine that says there are some departments around the country in which officers scoff at the notion that human trafficking is an issue in their jurisdictions. And that means that those working to fight it, like you, often do so in relative isolation. Is it recognized here as a serious problem?
Definitely think so. Like I said earlier, with our mandated in-service training, it's opened a lot of people's eyes, and I don't think that's really a major issue here in Wilmington.
Jessica Green, how do you see that issue when you're just out and about in the community? Do you think it's widely recognized by the public as an issue?
I think that we're definitely moving in that direction. I feel like when I go to speaking engagements that I'm more often than not asked about human trafficking versus rape and sexual assault, which is really wonderful that people are starting to recognize that this is indeed an issue and that it happens here, because sometimes that's what's the surprising factor, that it's not all foreign-born victims, that it's not something that's happening somewhere else far away that we don't have to be concerned about or have the kind of, oh, those poor people attitude about it, but that it is indeed happening in our own community. And that sort of awareness is so important to actually being able to address and prevent the problem.
And how is it happening here more than, say, other communities that are comparable to ours? Why is the Cape Fear region prone to this kind of problem?
Well, I think that it is surprising to people to know that North Carolina is in the top 10 states for human trafficking. And a lot of that has to do with the major highways, the fact that Wilmington in general is a destination location, that we have a port, and that North Carolina has a few large military bases, which typically when you go to a town with a military base, it's surrounded by establishments that are categorized as adult entertainment. And those, unfortunately, can be places where we find child exploitation happening.
And I think one of the issues around this that is hard for people to understand, if you're an American-born person, why would someone feel trapped? Why would they feel that they couldn't just call 911 and say, hey, I'm in a situation, or run and knock on a door? What stops them from doing that?
Well, a lot of that is the psychological hold that the perpetrator has established. They have done meticulous work to make sure that that victim feels completely isolated, that if they come forward, that no one is going to believe them or want to help them. And there is still a very large stigma surrounded by rape and sexual assault, so that people feel like if they come forward that they're not going to be supported and that they're not going to be believed and that no one's going to want to help them. And so we try to do as much education as possible to inform our community that that's not, in fact, the case. And, you know, these perpetrators use substance abuse. They use financial means. They use all sorts of tactics that provide them to have as much control as possible of another human being.
And when you say substance abuse, you're talking about the perpetrator giving the victim drugs to keep them hooked.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about human trafficking in southeastern North Carolina, why it's tough to prosecute, and how our treatment of survivors and perpetrators is evolving. With us to answer your questions are Jessica Green of Coastal Horizons Rape Crisis Center and Detective Will Campbell of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Department. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using CoastlineHQR. And I see we have a correction here. Detective Campbell works for the sheriff's office, not the sheriff's department. Apologies about
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
And we will say that properly from here on out. In 2011, the National Association of Attorneys General, which included North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper, sent a letter to a popular website that's similar to Craigslist, where all kinds of services are advertised on this website, including adult services. And the letter detailed the way some of these ads for adult services contribute to human trafficking and the victimization of minors. And we contacted the Attorney General's office to find out whether there was any response from this website. The letter demanded a response by a certain time. You know, what are you doing to help us with this and combat this? And we haven't heard yet. They're looking into it, and we do expect an update on that later today. But Detective Campbell, what are you seeing with this particular website where so many of these victims are offered to the public? What's your relationship with that website?
The website and the things that it advertises are bad, and I totally agree with that. A lot of people think, you know, prostitution and pretty woman and women walking the street corners. It's just not really the case anymore. It's digital now. There's an online marketplace for it, and this among many other websites is where they go. You know, there's been a lot of call for this website to be shut down, and I agree that websites like this should be shut down, but they're going to open up elsewhere. And let's say if this one shuts down and it moves overseas, you know, to a totally different continent, and then what jurisdiction or anything, what reign do we have over them to try to make them cooperate with us? Right now, the website that you're talking about is extremely cooperative. And, you know, I'd hate to see it move from that to where we're losing investigative tools because, you know, this entity has moved somewhere where they don't have to cooperate with us.
So in a way, the presence of these ads on this particular website actually helps law enforcement. It gives you a pathway to some of the perpetrators.
Absolutely.
How does that work? How does the website cooperate?
Without getting into it, you know, as far as how we work our cases and investigative styles, if we, you know, request information from the website, then they, with a court order, they will provide it back to us.
We have a caller, Amber from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi,
Amber.
This is Amber. I'm from Wilmington, and I was calling to see if there are any resources helping these victims in the area.
Jessica Green from the Rape Crisis Center.
Yes, there are actually many organizations that are out there helping. Shame plug, the Rape Crisis Center of Coastal Horizons. We've been doing this sort of work in the community for 35 years. We also have the Domestic Violence Shelter in town and multiple other shelter organizations, including A Safe Place and Good Shepherd. And then, of course, our wonderful partners in law enforcement are helping us with this issue significantly.
Does that answer your question, Amber?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much for your call. What does this kind of experience, when someone is rescued from a situation, a sex trafficking situation, a survivor, what does that do to a child, especially if she was first victimized when she was very young, say, you know, 12 to 14, that window when you talk about that's the point when they become vulnerable to this. What issues is she likely to face?
Oh, goodness. A whole slew of issues, primarily being a distortion of what a healthy relationship looks like. And I was actually talking with someone about this earlier because these people are brought up in a world where everything comes at a price. And so, you know, people always want to know a survivor's story, or they want me to see if I can't find a survivor who will speak. And I'm really hesitant to do that simply because as a service provider, we have an obligation to inform these people that you don't owe us anything, that you have a right to services, that you have a right to be a normal person, and that I'm not going to turn around and then want to exploit your experience to get, you know, some sort of recognition for my own organization. And so in addition to the self-esteem and kind of having to rewire their brains to realize that healthy relationships include respect, that it includes a mutual love, that it includes an equal power balance. And unfortunately, if children are not hooked into the appropriate services, if they're not receiving therapy and are able to kind of rework the way that they think, they will stay in that cycle for the rest of their lives, thinking that that's what's normal because that's normal to them.
And what can the Rape Crisis Center do to help combat that?
Well, we are really fortunate that we have several very talented clinicians on staff that are able to provide therapy at no cost to survivors. And so they're especially trained in these type of issues that are surrounding sexual trauma. And so they work with them for as however long that it takes. We've got advocates on staff who are helping them get into GED programs, that are helping them get into substance abuse treatment programs, that are helping them, you know, address the financial issues so that they can be independent and not have to rely on a lifestyle that's been providing for them their entire lives. So we work really hard to make sure that people kind of holistically are being provided with services.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about human trafficking in southeastern North Carolina, why it's tough to prosecute, and how our treatment of survivors and perpetrators is evolving. With us to answer your questions are Jessica Green of Coastal Horizons Rape Crisis Center and Detective Will Campbell of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. If you have a question, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. We have an email from Isabel, not our producer. And the question is Congress aware of the effort? If so, which members can we contact?
That is a question that's really difficult to answer. I know that there's a bill being passed through legislation right now, the National, I think, Modern Slavery to End Modern Slavery that's going on. Who specifically is on that bill, I'm not entirely sure. It's also important to note that that bill is getting investments from other foreign agencies and things like that. And it's actually going to go to fund organizations outside of the U.S.
Right.
So it won't necessarily affect us here at home, except for that hopefully we will see a decrease in people being trafficked internationally to our state.
You're referring to the End Modern Slavery Initiative.
That's
and I think it's a bipartisan bill that is working its way. I think it just passed a Senate committee. But, yeah, we can get more information on that, certainly. You're listening to Coastline. If you have a question for our guests about human trafficking, give us a call at 910-343-1138. Detective Campbell, do you ever work with or get assistance from federal agencies on local cases or initiatives?
Yes, ma'am. Like you said earlier with the rapid response team, it's made up of local, state, federal agencies. And, you know, just as recent as, you know, in recent cases, we contact the DA's office. Here locally, we contact the U.S. Attorney's Office. We have everybody on board, kind of an all-hands-on-deck approach from the very beginning, you know, with victim services and all members of the response team.
This must be very tough work to do for both of you. I mean, you know, you're Detective Campbell, you're coming at it from the very beginning of a case when you're first encountering a victim, and Jessica Green from the Rape Crisis Center, you're then immediately getting involved with the victim to render services and help this person get into a better situation. But how do you deal with this in your personal life? How do you dissociate from what must be some horror? Really?
Do you want to start?
I mean, I think it's something. It's not really just this kind of work. It's all, you know, law enforcement, EMS, doctors, firefighters. It's stuff that all of us see. And at some point, you either, you know, get numb to it, you compartmentalize it, and you move on. It's what you sign up for, and you know, you deal with it. And, you know, helping the next person helps you deal with what you dealt with, you know, prior to that.
So actually, with each case that goes along, it gives you a good reason to keep going forward. Is
Absolutely.
That what you're saying?
Yeah.
Jessica Green?
Well, it's really funny because I feel like any time in which I tell somebody who doesn't know me what I do for a living, their first response is, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. It's like, well, I wanted this job. I actually applied for it. I'm very happy to be doing this. And a lot of it has to do with kind of the attitude and kind of your perspective when you go into work every single day, because I know that sexual violence happens. I know that it's happening every single day in our own community. However, if a victim is getting hooked into our services, then I know that we are educating them. We're providing them with options that otherwise that they wouldn't have had that experience. They wouldn't have had those to be able to make an educated decision and have the support that they really need. So, and then we, of course, have wonderful partners that make our job so much easier. And I think that I work with the best group of people on the face of the planet. So I'm happy to go to work every day.
Detective Campbell, how did you get into specifically investigating sex trafficking cases?
It's funny. I started out with the sheriff's office. I first worked in the jail. Then I worked on patrol for a little while, and then came up with the detectives. And I was actually a juvenile investigator, where I focused on defendants, suspects that are under the age of 18, 16, things like that. And we had a case come about where the Wilmington Police Department, one of their domestic violence detectives, was working it, and they needed assistance in the county. And nobody had really worked a human trafficking case before. And they called me and said, look, this is what we've got. And at that point, we didn't even know really it was a human trafficking case. We didn't know what it was going to turn out to be. And you actually spoke earlier about a conviction, and that's actually it.
Talking the one in August?
The one where the guy was sentenced in January of this year.
Right, right. Okay, the most recent.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. What are some of the tactics that the sheriff's office uses to prosecute these cases?
As far as prosecution, I don't really know how to get into that. You know, what I really can harp on is the in-service training that all the officers are seeing now, because these cases, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, whatever, they don't present themselves as, hey, I'm a human trafficking case. It comes about as a domestic violence case, or, you know, a traffic stop where an officer notices something that's a little, you know, out of left field. And, you know, even other cases, they come about as counterfeit money cases, and then the people involved, you start to realize that there's something else there. So really the biggest part is training for law enforcement and all the troops that are out on the ground knowing what they're looking at or having some sort of idea that something's not quite right.
And just to be clear, you're also a little reluctant to talk about some of the tactics because you just don't want those to become known.
Surely.
So that they're still usable.
Right, right.
Which makes complete sense. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Detective Will Campbell of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office and Jessica Green of Coastal Horizons Rape Crisis Center about human trafficking in southeastern North Carolina. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. One of the things that we've talked about is how the law has changed to help victims and survivors of these crimes. And we've talked about how children are now seen as victims, regardless of their, well, there is no culpability. Is that right, Jessica Green, when it comes to a child, no matter what they've done, someone under 18?
Right, exactly, which is a huge shift. And I think that it's really important that we are now recognizing that they are victims. We can get them hooked into the services that they need to so that those aren't behaviors that they're engaging in time and time again.
In the past, somebody who was 16 or 17 could be convicted of sex of prostitution.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And now they cannot be convicted.
Exactly, which is a huge, huge win for us.
What else has changed from a legal standpoint in terms of how we deal with these crimes? What about adults? Have things shifted for, say, an adult woman? She's over 18, but she's still part of sexual trafficking.
Right. So if an adult woman now is charged with prostitution and it's the first charge of prostitution, then she'll be referred to deferred prosecution no matter what. And if it's a subsequent charge, then it's the district attorney's office. They can it's their discretion whether or not they want to refer her to deferred prosecution. And even convictions before October 2013, if it was a conviction where they were exploited, it was a conviction based on them being exploited, then they can be referred to deferred prosecution as well.
And then if someone also is convicted of prostitution, prosecuted for prostitution, there is a possibility for that record to be expunged?
Yes, ma'am. Now they can go and apply for expungement.
Jessica.
And additionally, if it is an adult, if we are able to prove in some way that there was force, fraud, or coercion involved, that would consider them to be a victim of human trafficking and not just, you know, and I hate just saying just a prostitute, but that's typically how they've been seen in the past. So that if we are able to meet any of those elements, that they're able to realize, oh, this person is a victim of this crime.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about human trafficking in southeastern North Carolina, why it's a problem, and how the approach to enforcement and treatment of survivors is changing. Jessica Green of the Rape Crisis Center and Detective Will Campbell of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office are here to answer your questions. You can ask a question by calling 910-343-1138. And when we come back, we'll take a call.